The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
So now I have an hour and a half to preach, so it's really good. Anyway, honestly, just want to speak for a few moments about what took place today and what this means. And Ed did a fine job preaching his sermon, and as we heard from Lisa, we know that his sermons are effective, and people come to Christ through his sermons. Hallelujah. That's why he lets me sing once in a while. Not too often, though. Anyway, we baptized because Jesus commanded it. Okay, very simple. When these folks got baptized, they didn't become Christians. They were Christians before they entered the water, and by their profession of faith, that's what they declared. They don't become better Christians, but they do become obedient because they're doing what Jesus told us to do. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. This is what we call as the Great Commission. Unfortunately, in some churches, it's the Great Omission. But what we're called to do is make disciples. That's the main verb. Make disciples. Help people to follow Christ, to know him and to follow him. So that's the main verb. So there's a process that precedes that. And it's going as you go, when you go, wherever you go. This is what we do. We share the good news of Jesus. And we watch as God draws people to himself. Now, for some folks, the going is a long process. You're praying for some people. You've been praying for them for a while. Don't give up. People didn't give up on you, okay? So don't give up. If you're a follower of Christ, as you go, when you go, share the good news, right? Then it comes to a moment of decision, and as was testified today, everybody has a different testimony, but it's all the same. They put their trust in Christ. That's what happened. Whether they were young or old or whatever, they put their trust in Christ. So that's why this baptism is a symbol of that decision. I have put my trust in Jesus Christ. And so publicly, I declare my faith. That's why it's baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You probably know the word baptized means dunk or immerse. And that's why we practice baptism by immersion, because it is a symbol of uniting with Christ. They were standing in the water. They go under the water. We keep them under for a while. Then they come up, right? So Christ died and he was buried. And then he rose again. And so that's the symbol, you see, of believing on Christ. I'm now living a new life. The miracle happened, and it's a miracle. It's the greatest miracle you'll ever experience. Even physical healing or something else cannot compare with the certainty that you're on your way to heaven because you believe on the Lord Jesus. And that's what this baptism is. Well, then, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's the process we're all in after we trust in Christ. We're still learning. We're learning to obey. Not just to know, not just to recite, but to put into practice, to obey. And Jesus promises that he'll be with us as we do this. Now, water baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is an outward symbol of an inward reality. When we are baptized in water, we are confessing that baptism by the Holy Spirit has already taken place in us. That happened the moment we believed. We were baptized in Christ. We are one body, all baptized in the Holy Spirit in him. That's the miracle that took place. Each sinner who puts their trust in Jesus Christ is immediately indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's the gospel. In fact, in Romans, Paul says, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So it's very simple. I mean, when you trust Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to reside permanently. Now, you can grieve him, you can deny him, you can ignore him, but he's still there. Hallelujah, he doesn't leave. Hallelujah, he holds on to us, right? And he is at home in us. Now, as we go a little further, God works in the believer by his Spirit to transform our lives. We've talked about this quite a bit in Ephesians 5:18, that everything about husbands loving their wives and wives submitting to their husbands and children obeying their parents for the children that are here. You want to serve Christ? You want to honor Christ? You want to follow the Spirit? Obey your parents. That's what God said. And then fathers and mothers, don't exasperate your children. So it's being filled with the Spirit. We defined as a Spirit-filled life is one which is lived under the control and guidance by the indwelling Spirit of God. That's just a simple definition of what happens the moment we believe, and then the transformed life that we live thereafter. One step at a time, as Ed said so beautifully, and that Lisa heard that day. Now in Galatians, I wanted to take a moment to talk about Galatians. Galatians is probably the earliest letter that we have in the New Testament. Most believe that Galatians was written around 45, 44, 46 AD. So this is only a little more than a decade after Jesus was on the earth, died, was buried, rose again. A little more than a decade, that's all. Paul went out on a missionary journey to a region called Galatia. It's not a city, it's a region in Asia Minor. And then he wrote this letter. And the letter is all about the gospel. In fact, he doesn't even introduce the letter. It's so funny. He just jumps right in. He doesn't say, hi, how are you? He just jumps right in. And he says, the gospel I preach to you is the truth. Don't fall for another gospel. Because these people had come in who are trying to undermine the gospel, saying you have to become Jewish and follow all the Jewish law before you can be a Christian. And Paul says, listen, even circumcision, if you want your boys circumcised for health reasons, fine, but it won't do anything for them spiritually. It's not necessary. We are in Christ, see? That's the miracle. We're in Christ. Now, the Old Testament law of the moral code, I mean, it's still a sin to lie or kill or cheat or destroy. I mean, all those things. But the ceremonial law is now obsolete because it was fulfilled by Christ. See? So we're not killing lambs anymore, goats, or, you know, wringing the necks of pigeons or anything like that. Because Christ fulfilled it all. It is finished. Tetelestai. He fulfilled all of that. The moral code is still in place. So how do we put the moral code into practice? How do we obey everything he commanded? Well, here's what he tells us. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That would be the Old Testament ceremonial rituals and all of that. That's a yoke. All that did was convince us we're sinners that need a Savior. Because nobody in their flesh can do everything right all the time. There's only one person in all of history who fully obeyed the word of God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And because when we trust in him, his righteousness is credited to our account. Hallelujah! Because my account and your account is bankrupt, right? Without Christ. So he set us free. This is freedom, he says. Now he speaks on this further. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, rather serve one another humbly in love. Don't say, oh, I'm free, now I can do whatever I want. No. Don't indulge the flesh. Get busy following the Spirit of God, humbly loving others. Because the whole law is summed up in loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Really. If you're loving your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to murder them, gossip, lie, any of that stuff, right? You're not going to cheat them. So that's what he says. Now, he goes further. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, one step at a time, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. He said it again. This is the remedy. How do you overcome those habits? How do you overcome addiction? How do you overcome sin? By walking by the Spirit. You see? So keep your Bible open. Okay, the word of truth and the Spirit of truth work together in your life. Not one independent of the other. They work together. Somebody comes to me and says, the Holy Spirit just told me to go rob a bank. I know that wasn't from the Spirit of God, right? I know that because the word of God tells me that. So they agree. Always keep that in mind. Keep your heart open to the word of God and the Spirit of God. In fact, when you read the word, ask the Spirit of God to teach you, because that's what he does. All right? So, we're going to sum it all up now. Aren't you glad? This is the sermonette. I told you. Since we live by the Spirit, since this is true, we live by the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us as a group of believers keep in step. Let us individually keep in step. It's a great word. It's a military term. March in formation. Stay in formation. Now, I know this is a bit profane, and I almost hesitate, but I tried it out on my life group, and they said it's okay. Imagine the Holy Spirit to be the drill sergeant barking out the orders. Isn't it so impressive when a group of soldiers just stay in formation and march, and they're listening to the orders given by the drill sergeant? Isn't that beautiful to see? Say yes. Okay, yes, it is. Well, the Holy Spirit isn't a drill sergeant. He's our comforter, our encourager, but he also convicts us and guides us. And the deal is, follow his leading. Keep in step with him. And by the way, everything he instructs you with will agree with the Word of God. We already said that. So some of you are old enough to remember a show called Gomer Pyle. See, I'm so glad I have a few. I use this illustration when I first moved here about 13 years ago. It was on Mother's Day when I first started here 13 years ago. And I used the illustration. Somebody said, who's Gomer Pyle? I was like, I'm showing my age. Anyway, Gomer Pyle was a great little military story, and Gomer was always getting into trouble and doing funny things and everything. So if you remember the introduction to the show, they got the whole team marching in formation, and poor Gomer, he's all out of step. So that's the picture. Don't get out of step. Stay in formation, and personally and as a group. And I have no greater desire than that we would keep in step with the Spirit of God. Right? That's what we want to be. That's who we want to be. And by God's grace, that's what Dedicus wants to be. Amen? That's what you guys want to be. That's what our Spanish group that meets on Monday night, that's who they want to be. You know, it's just a beautiful thing. So, that's all I got. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for this miracle of the new birth. I pray for everybody here. I pray that everyone here is assured that they put their trust in you. All that's required is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the sum of all the gospel invitation. The most important word of the gospel, Lord, we know is come. Not do, not get yourself fixed up. No, just come and believe. And hallelujah, that the moment we trust in you, you send your Spirit dwells in us, and now we can live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. Oh, Father, may that prayer be answered among us today and always. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.